my wrists are aching, my fingers are hurting, my shoulders, everything is screaming. And somewhere around hour four of the crying, his and mine, is at that point I had just broken down. I mean, you remember when your kids were babies, you know?
Right, right.
And I remember thinking, I'm done. If I just stopped breathing, the noise would go away. And I wouldn't have to feel like such a failure because I wouldn't be here to feel it. And I remember, it was almost like having these thoughts. It was an out-of-body experience, this recognition right. of like, oh my gosh, what are you saying? You know, what are you, what is happening? And I think just the awareness of what that was and having this, it was almost like I felt my future self calling out to me going, hang on, it's about to get so good.
We'll discuss race and how it plays a factor and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A Black Executive Perspective.
We are coming to you live from the new BEP studio for another thought-provoking episode of a Black Executive Perspective podcast, a safe space where we discuss all matters regarding race, culture, and those uncomfortable topics people tend to avoid. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit. So before we get started on a fantastic episode, I want to remind everyone to make sure you check out our partners at Code M Magazine, whose mission is to save the Black family by first saving the Black man. So check them out at codemmagazine.com. That is codemmagazine.com. And so today, Dr. Seema Desai, transformational success coach, speaker, and co-host of the award-winning Happy and Human podcast joins us for a deep dive into the struggles and triumphs of high-performing professionals. We'll unpack the invisible weight carried by ambitious leaders, the stress, self-doubt, and the feeling of never enough. I know that feeling because I've been there a million times. Dr. Desai will share her powerful research and personal stories that challenges the status quo of the hustle culture through the lens of a woman of color and will often offer practical strategies for reclaiming your power now. So let me tell you a little bit about my good friend, Dr. Seema Desai. As I stated, she's a transformational speaker, credential executive coach, and advocate for the performance with purpose. She empowers ambitious, high-performing leaders not only to excel at work, but also nurture their well-being and cultivate meaningful connections at home. Drawing from her rich cultural heritage and personal journey, navigating imposter syndrome, postpartum depression, and the challenges of being a working mom, Dr. Desai brings a rare blend of empathy, insight, and real-world experience to every leader she serves. She's the author of Connected, Discovering Your Inner Guide, and as I stated earlier, the co-host of the multiple award-winning podcast, Happy and Human, where she champions conversations around success and self-care. A committed change maker, Dr. Desai also serves on the executive board of Prantham USA's Austin chapter, driving educational equity for underserved children in India and beyond. Although no longer practicing dentistry, Dr. Desai's early career as a general dentist in Austin informs her holistic approach, treating not just symptoms, but the whole person. Dr. Seema Desai, welcome to a Black Executive Perspective podcast, my sister.
Oh my goodness. I am thrilled to be here. So excited. I cannot wait to dive into what's going to be a really fun conversation.
Well, you're not the only one that's excited, my friend. I mean, listen, your background is undeniable. What you're doing and how you're helping transform people's personal lives, get them off the rat wheel of the, you know, the climb up the corporate ladder, and making them feel at peace with themselves is beautiful. And this is something I've been looking forward to since we put it on the calendar. I've been looking forward to this date because this is something from my own experience that I've dealt with and still deal with, mm-hmm. right? That I can tell you thousands and thousands, maybe millions of people in corporate America or business owners or whatever the case may be, athletes, yeah. high, like you said, high achievers mm-hmm. that struggle with this because we only know one way, and that way is full throttle 365, 24/7. So I'm so happy to hear you to be here today so you can talk to us about how we can throttle that down and still be just as effective in our endeavors and whatever we want to achieve. Now, before we get into the heavy stuff, my sister, tell us a little bit about where you currently reside and then a little bit about your family.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tony, family is everything to me. I live in Austin, Texas, with my husband and two young children. They're not as young as they used to be. They're growing fast. But, you know, we're loving life while they are still young and unable to drive and need us for all the things. And we have a lot of extended family around, too. So that definitely informs our day-to-day and our, you know, month-to-month as well is heavily knitting in time with our nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, cousins. That's really, really important to us.
That's awesome. How old are your kids?
My older one is 13. And so he's right in it. He's right in that. He is 13, let me tell you. And my daughter is 10 and a half. So, you know, they both kind of fall into those stereotypical heteronormative boxes of tendencies, even firstborn and secondborn and all of those things. But, you know, we're enjoying every minute of it, even when it feels sticky and hard. And, you know, that's I think been such a gift really yeah. is I feel like when I'm out and about, I really try to watch. It's important to me to be very aware of when I am in judgment of something or someone, because that says something about me, right? It doesn't mm-hmm. say something about the other person so much as it says something about me. And that's where I have the power to really shift my perspective or even just that awareness of recognition, right? But I do see families out and about and, you know, I used to be those families. I used to be that mom that was really angry and frustrated and stressed and, you know, had checked off all those boxes and still felt like stress was how it was supposed to be, that there wasn't really a reprieve except for maybe that glass of wine or buying that cute handbag, maybe taking that vacation or eating that bowl of ice cream at 10 o'clock at night. And it's been such a gift. The work that I do now has been such a gift in order to be able to really create meaningful connection with people, especially my kids, because it gets hard as parents, right? We're navigating a lot, especially right. in this day and age with technology and things that just didn't exist when we were coming up.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, it's been really great.
No, that is awesome. That is awesome. And listen, you know, you spoke a little bit about it, the work that you do. Mm-hmm. We went through your bio.
Yeah.
You're very busy. You have your own business. Mm-hmm. You're meeting and coaching people. You're traveling. You have an award-winning podcast that you've created. You have a ton of guests that come on, which we'll dive into. So you're very busy, right? And like I said, I circled this on the calendar because I couldn't wait for us to have this conversation. But yeah. The question I have, you know, why did you want to come on a Black Executive Perspective podcast to talk about this topic?
You know, I think this is a really human condition. And I think that this meaning, you know, ambition, stress, wanting to get to that next level. And I've seen, you know, as a daughter of immigrants, just how critical family stability must be, regardless of what your family looks like. I know your listeners are, you know, coming from different backgrounds and things, but I have always felt like there is such similarity culturally even between, you know, people that I meet from the Black American population versus the Indian American population. And even going back into our African and Indian roots, you know, there's so much crossover. There's so much, even my in-laws actually technically are Kenyan and Ugandan because they were born there, right? They're Indian heritage, but they were born there. And then they had their own own history that they've shared and things. And we're here in the States because they were courageous enough to leave and start a new life here, and my parents as well. But there's so much crossover, really, truly, especially I think with the what's expected of men. So, so similar.
Right. Right. Well, listen, you already chomping at the bit. You ready to dive into it. So I'm not going to even stop you. All right, let's do it. You ready to talk about it, my sister?
I'm so excited. Let's do this.
Okay, let's talk about it. So listen, let's set this up. You know, and you spoke a little bit about it a minute ago when you talked about when you're out walking the earth and you see other families. And obviously, like you said, you don't try to judge anything like that. But you can see the stress and the things that people are dealing with, even when they deal with their own family, right? And trust me, I can raise my hand. I've been there as well, yeah. Right? And, you know, one of the things when we, and that's just everyday individuals, right? But when we talk about high achievers, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
There's an inner pressure to perform.
It's time to rethink your protein. Agrilab's protein bars are crafted with high-quality protein, double the leucine, and enriched branched-chain amino acids, essential for optimal muscle recovery. Finally, a protein bar that works as hard as you do. So visit agrilabs.com and use the code BEP to get 20% off. That's agrilabs.com, promo code BEP.
To deliver, to be more, right? And a lot of times we don't talk about that, right? But in everything, you know, there's a cost, mm-hmm. right? And that yeah. cost is affecting us. And sometimes we give up things to get things,
right?
But we don't recognize the cost. So let's talk a little bit. Tell us a little bit, like, what's some of the burnout signals that you see with high-performing leaders, yeah. the ones that come to you and say, hey, I need help. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think burnout is a whole other level of manifestation of symptoms, right? So we have, you touched on this beautifully, oftentimes we're not aware. And the reason we're not aware is because we've never known any different, right? The awareness is what is so critical. And I think it really solves a lot of the, because your intuition will kick in once you are aware. It can't not.
Right.
Right. There will be, maybe you may not be aware of the whisper that your intuition says, like, oh, maybe this is costing me. Maybe things could be better. Maybe, you know, but the awareness is such an important first step to make of, you know, how is this affecting me? This ambition, this, drive, it's effective in that it will get you to where you are, right? You might have that title, you might have that salary, you might have the millions in the bank. And even if not, you may very well have the path to get there. But what got you here won't get you there. And working hard and doubling down and, you know, I see it in terms of symptoms of people pleasing for women more than men, but, you know, there is some of that, I think, across the board. Controlling, you know, just needing to control and have the final say on everything, being, you know, having those perfectionist tendencies and the thoughts of, well, if I don't handle it, it's not going to get done correctly and I'm going to wind up doing it anyway. So let me just take care of it. Right. There can be, I'm trying to figure out a better way to use the word victim because it is that helplessness, right? I don't think victim is necessarily the most accurate reflection because it brings up other connotations, but that helplessness of being out of control, right? This is happening right. to me. My boss is this way. My job is this way. The commute is this long. My house is too small. My kids don't listen. These are all kind of symptoms of things that we experience as high achievers. And we tell ourselves that we've got to push through.
Right.
Right. And it's comes at a cost. I call it the stress tax. 83% of just the U.S. alone is reports being highly stressed. And most of that stress actually is reported as bleeding over into other parts of our life, right? So the job stress is high. It bleeds over into our families. It bleeds over into our health. It bleeds over into the other relationships and our ability to even have the hobbies that we used to have as kids, right? Right. So many executives and high performers, it's like, oh, I don't have time. I used to play the piano as a kid, or I used to run, I used to draw, I used to sing. And we've come away from this element of play that makes us uniquely us as individuals. And it costs us. We tell ourselves it doesn't, that nobody has time for it. But the stat that shocked me the most was that our external circumstances only dictate about 10% of our lived reality.
Wow. Wow. You know what? Stop right there. I want to, because you said something. Well, you said a lot.
I said a lot.
All good stuff though, right? But I want to just remember that point because I want to come back to it. But I want to ask you this question. So at the end of the day, how much of this is based on what we're told when we're young and how we're brought up, right? Because at the end of the day, let's be fair. I grew up, nobody said, well, you can just ease into work. Or you know what? You can just, you know, you ain't got to push hard. You'll still be successful, right? How many cliches do we hear all the time? It's hard work. You got to fight through the pain. You have to keep going. Persistence. You know, one of my favorite quotes, I think it was by Grover Cleveland, Coolidge, right? That, you know, persistence, you still keep showing up. You still keep doing it. How much of this is the culture at work? How many people have you seen that raise their hand up and say, you know what, you're working me too hard, or I need more time, and they become successful, okay? You don't see that, right? So, right. I mean, to be fair, we've kind of created monsters.
Yes.
Okay, to be fair. Yeah. And then, so a lot of times, you don't know you're a monster until the high blood pressure, or until you snap, or until, so talk a little bit about that, because you know, you said 80, hold on, I just want to make sure I got the stat right. 10%, I think, let me get this point. 10% is external. That means 10% of stuff that you don't have control over, it affects you. So that means what? 90%. 90% of all the things, from all the things that's increasing my stress hormones, that's putting me under the gun, is self-inflicted.
Yes. And I know that is a really hard thing to look in the mirror with.
So wouldn't that be a correlation, though, in terms of how you're told to show up every day, how you're told that the only way you can become successful is by doing all these things in excess? Yeah. You've been told, don't cry, don't whine, just deal with it. So that's the correlation, right? That's the 90-10, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and it is costing us. Look at where we are as society now. Can you honestly say, and I'm not to put you on the spot, but
no, you can put me in it. Yeah, I'm part of the 90.
Well, and there's so many ways I could go with this, but first of all, let's pause here and say, when I say 90% is in your control, there's a huge difference between blame and responsibility, right? So we can say, well, but my mom, you know, she brought me up this way. My dad, my culture, my this, my that. I came up, I am from an immigrant family. Okay. We did not have much in the way of privilege. There was no, I'm the first doctor in my family. You know, so I want to acknowledge it is easy to sit there and say, well, it's because of my circumstances. Yes, but they're not as heavily influential as we might want to believe. Right? Our egos will tell us that it's way more influential than it actually is. So what we can do is empower ourselves with taking responsibility. And the beauty of that is you don't need an app. You don't need a subscription. You can do it anytime, anywhere. Cultivating an awareness for how you are thinking and how you are seeing the world, that's readily available to anyone. The caveat is you must be willing to do the work. You must be willing to put in an effort. It becomes easier over time with more practice. But when you first start trying to look at the world a different way, it is effort for sure.
Right. Let me, you know, let's go to what you just got finished saying about your own background. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, didn't grow up with much, had to work hard. You know, you became a dentist, you became a mother, married. So there was a lot of pressures, okay, that you had to deal with, that you probably dealt with, right? Mm-hmm. So how did your own lived experience and the things that you went through, depression, stuff to that nature, shaped your mind? How did you get out of that mindset and started being able to take more control back?
Yeah. Well, and I think this kind of goes back to your earlier question, right? What are the signs of things like burnout and things? And that was starting to happen to me. I was in the burnout phase where, you know, I was always, you know, in Sanskrit, they're called vasanas, right? They're tendencies. So this perfectionism, this deep desire to not get like a 99, that's not good enough. I need to get 105.
Right. Right.
That level of commitment and ambition and drive, that had always been my MO. And it does cost. It costs us sleep. It costs us our health. It costs us all of these things, the quality of our relationships, the amount of stress we feel. But to your point, those are, it's like they siphon very, very quietly. And for me, what happened was I hit burnout, and burnout is characterized more in just a flat out, I cannot go on anymore. I am too tired to, you know, and the things that you used to love doing, things like, you know, I used to love baking. I used to love reading just for fun. All of these things that I used to love doing. And I just was like, I don't want to do any of it now.
Where were you when that happened? Were you, did you wake up one day that way? Or were you in the middle of a high stress moment that you finally broke down?
I think it was very, very insidious and gradual. Now I will happily share my moment of reckoning, but it started out, I remember I flipped out on a lady in line at the deli, and I had only been a doctor for 2 years, but I had no idea that being in a mentally and physically demanding job that I didn't love was actually taking its toll to the point where, I mean, my husband looked at me and he was like, who are you? This is not the person that I know. Like, you would never flip out on anyone. And I don't even remember what it was about. Right. But that was kind of, looking back, I wasn't conscious of it then, but that was sort of my first experience of like, oh, maybe I need to reevaluate. Well, what happens when we ignore the signs is it's like, imagine you're on a highway, right? And your GPS says, exit now. Like, I'll send you a sign, exit now, and you don't exit. And you keep going and it says, all right, I'm going to reroute you, exit now, right? So that next exit now sign, you know, there was just different things with work. I would consistently blame patients. I would blame the office location. I would blame anything and everything for why I was miserable. And it led to me just saying like, I'm going to take a step back, but I didn't change my thinking. I just took a break from work. Right. So I kept digging, even though I wasn't actually showing up to work, keep going down the highway at 150 miles an hour. And we have this baby. And I remember my son, there were a lot of contributing factors that went into me experiencing what I did. And I'm, you know, it was an undiagnosed postpartum anxiety and depression. But I remember him being 5 months old, and I was in this noisy, drafty apartment, and he was crying and crying. My back is aching. My wrists are aching. My fingers are hurting. My shoulders, everything is screaming. And somewhere around hour four of the crying, his and mine, is at that point I had just broken down. I mean, you remember when your kids were babies, you know?
Right, right.
And I remember thinking, I'm done. If I just stopped breathing, the noise would go away. And I wouldn't have to feel like such a failure because I wouldn't be here to feel it. And I remember, it was almost like having these thoughts. It was an out of body experience, this recognition of like, oh my gosh, what are you saying? You know, what is happening? And I think just the awareness of what that was and having this, it was almost like I felt my future self calling out to me going, hang on, it's about to get so good. Just hang on. Just take that next breath. Just take that next breath. That's all you need to think about is that next breath. And, you know, advocating for, I think something's wrong was really difficult. It's easier to deny it.
Right.
My husband at the time was not to, you know, not at all to blame him. It was just easier for both of us to pretend that something wasn't wrong. But I think slowly coming out of it, that meant me getting out of the house. It meant me incorporating movement back into my day because I wasn't doing that. I was socially isolated, just me and my baby at home. And my husband would go to work and come back and he was the only person I would ever see. Mm-hmm. And these are kind of obvious things as you think about them, but when you're in it, they're not.
No, you're 100% right. You know, there's an old saying that pigs don't know pigs stink. Okay. Yes. When you're in the pig pen, everything seems normal. As soon as you get out the pig pen, the first thing you say is, what's that funky smell? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're 100% right. So how did you elevate out of it? And then more importantly, then created a business to help other people, especially high achievers, because that's really 9 times out of 10, those are the individuals that, and I'll be honest with you, not everything that you went through is verbatim for me, but I've been through that, right? And I've seen a bunch of people go through that. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's just really it is you mentioned this idea of working hard. Right. And we believe that. That's what we're taught is work hard and you're going to get the results that you want. And it costs. So what I think people don't know is that you don't have to. I want you guys to really listen to this when I say you don't have to work hard. You do not have to work hard by way of knowing all the answers and grinding it out. You do have to show up consistently. There will be times where it is challenging. Some days will be harder than others. But you don't need to kill yourself or have all the answers in order to get not only to where you want to go, but beyond where you ever thought possible, right? And so when I, you know, it was a surreal experience for me to listen to you share my intro with the audience because no way would I have ever been able to predict all of that being true and me feeling really good about it and not having that self-doubt about, oh, I don't know, you know, that doesn't seem right. I don't know that I'm qualified. No. I think when I first decided to stop practicing dentistry, I remember my son was 8 and he kept asking me, Mommy, what are you going to do? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? And I didn't know. And I think we tell ourselves as high achievers who, by the way, we got to where we are by having a plan.
There's no question.
Right? I know I need to do well in school and then I need to get into university. When I get into university, I need to take this exam so I can get into my MBA or I can get into my law school or medical school or what. Like, we know exactly what exams we need to do well on, what classes we need to do to prepare us for that outcome. And I'm not saying that that doesn't have value, right? It is not an exclusive either this or that. It is a yes and scenario. So for me, this looked like, and for my clients, what they discover for themselves to be true is they don't have to have all the answers. Their plan needs to be more focused on, all right, how can I feel at ease in the moment? How can I actually feel confident in the moment? Even when I don't know the answers, when things feel out of control, getting clear on when am I in judgment? When am I having this strong desire to dig deeper and push harder and learning to ease up? Because that's physiologically when your brain can make those executive decisions a little bit better, right? When we're stressed, we're focusing only on, we're only able to use the lower part of our nervous system. So our decision-making is affected. We're not able to see all the opportunities in front of us. And importantly, we fool ourselves into thinking that the opportunities in front of us are going to get us to where we want. Right?
Right.
But for me, what happened was I had no idea. And I just took it, you know, some days it was one day at a time, other, you know, just trusting, and I know that sounds very amorphous and very, we want the plan, we want a step-by-step. But guys, your greatest expression of who you are, that is a divine plan. That's a divine plan. That's why it's not clear to you right now as you are stressed, as you are navigating all of these things. So when you stop and slow down and say, all right, and an example for me is I wanted to go back and do yoga teacher training. that's what I tried to do. And the universe kept shutting me down, right? For whatever reason, I never actually, still to this day, have done yoga teacher training. But what did come through was going to coaching school. I was getting coached myself, and then I had finished with my engagement with my coach. And then I had another friend reach out and she said, you know, I'm going to do this coaching thing. It was during the pandemic. And she said, I think you would really enjoy it, even if you don't want to become a professional coach. And then through that and social media posting and things, like I did go to coaching school, and turns out coaching is just all the theoretics of yoga applied, right? It's right. Not the actual physical pose, but it's the non-judgment. It's the non-violence, the do no harm, the, all of those things. I wound up publishing a book. I never thought I would do that. That was literally, these things just happen. They fall into place, because what happens is you start thinking more authentically, and the universe, quantum physics, I know it sounds really, again, some people might dismiss this as illogical or fluff, but really the quantum physics and how this works is you start tapping into a higher frequency of existence, and then what you actually want to create will find you, right? Right. But there has to be a frequency match. And then it just happens. It's called the law of least effort. And a book that I'd love to recommend to your listeners is Deepak Chopra's book, The Seven Laws of Spiritual Success, or something like that. I have it on my, one of my kids might have it. I don't know. But it's The Seven Laws of Spiritual Success is, I believe, what it's called. It's a short book. It's like $7 on Amazon. But he does a beautiful job of explaining why it's so critically important to stop forcing our way through and just be present with what is now, so that you can actually easily create what it is that you want and what's meant for you.
You know, so number one, thank you for that. And unfortunately, it seems you have to get broke down. Okay. You have to, you know, get to a point where, what's that old Fannie Lou Hamer saying? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I would imagine most of your, clients are people who fit that bill.
Yeah.
Versus somebody who comes in and says, you know what, before I get started with this stuff, I want to make sure that I'm in alignment and stuff to that nature. Yeah. 9 times out of 10, that doesn't happen, right? No. You have to get to a point, like with your own personal story and my own story and everybody else's story, where you get to a point, because you don't know that you're going to break. And you may hear it, and people may tell you you're doing too much, or take a step back. I could imagine you probably had friends and family telling you at the same time, look, Seema, chill, it's going to be okay. And you're looking at them like, what are you talking about? Okay. So well, I think, you know, people sometimes they have to, you know, hit rock bottom before they get to that point. But go ahead. You were going to interject.
No, I was just going to agree. But, you know, the thing about high achievers is we're often surrounded by other high achievers. So
it's so true. It's so true. And so, then the people who are not high achievers saying, hey, you need to chill out. You're looking at them. That's why you sitting where you are.
Get out of my face. All right.
So then that's our mindset, right? Yeah. So it becomes tough to do unless you get to that point where you are like, because we, and look, I love the spirituality, because to me, and that's biblical, right? Is at some point you got to let this, you got to let it go, right? Yeah. And you got to give it to God. And you got to keep moving. And I remember I had a situation, this was years ago, man, where I was pulling, burning the candle at both ends of the stick. And I remember being at work. I never forgot this.
If you like what you hear and want to join us on this journey of making uncomfortable conversations comfortable, please subscribe to a Black Executive Perspective podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hit subscribe now to stay connected for more episodes that challenge, inspire, and lead the change.
And it came to a point where everything seemed like it was crashing down on me all at one time.
Yeah.
And I remember I left work in the middle of the day. I just left and I went home, and my mother-in-law, this is my first marriage, my mother-in-law was there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had a good relationship, but we wasn't all that tight. But I walked through the door. And she said, why are you home from work? And I went up to her and I hugged her And I cried uncontrollably for a good 10, 15, I mean, every, and this is a person who didn't cry. This is a person who was taught men shouldn't cry. Mm-hmm. You know, it's weakness if you cry. All those things, I held all that in and then fell into her arms and cried uncontrollably for 10 to 15 minutes. Okay, I was at my bottom. And I remember her saying to me, Tony, you got to give this to God. You got to give it to Jesus. And I mean that and I felt a lift come off my, you know, so back to the rock bottom. I get it. I totally get it. Right. So talk a little bit about your clients and some of the things that you prescribe them to be able to do to slowly, because I love the law. You know, there's a book I read called the, it was the law. I forget. It was by Bob Berg. It was a different law though. It was the same law, but a different, nomenclature. It was called the law of left field. Okay. That you put all this energy out. Right. And you're expecting it to come from this where, right. But then all of a sudden it comes from over here and be boom. And you're like, and then people are, you were lucky. No, I wasn't lucky. That's me putting all this energy out. So talk a little bit about some of the things you prescribe to a person like me who was broke down, who cried uncontrollably, high achiever. Talk to me, doc. What would you do? Do I take an apple or an aspirin or, you know what I'm saying? Tylenol, well, go home, talk to me.
And that's the thing, right? Is I talk so much about awareness, but what you do with that awareness, right? Recognizing for you in that moment, coming home to your mother-in-law and crying, you know, you kind of hinted at this question earlier. Do we need to hit rock bottom? I think for some of us, especially high achievers, we do have to kind of have that bottom. We need to have something that's the impetus for change. And then for some of us, it could be just, you know, a friend having a triple bypass surgery at age 40. And that's the, my God, I don't want to, you know, leave my wife and kids, at such a young age. It could look like rock bottom can look like, and feel like very different things for very different people. So it doesn't mean that you're just going to wind up in the hospital or behind bars and that's your rock bottom. Right. So I want to acknowledge, you know, what that looked like for you. Yes, that narrative of, you know, we don't cry and big girls don't cry and big boys don't cry, especially when the expectations and we don't have the privilege as people of color, we don't have that margin, right? We've got to overperform.
We got to overperform. Over.
Exactly. And so I want to acknowledge that that is true. And also. 90% is up to us. And so we have to cultivate this awareness, just, you know, but then not judge ourselves for when that happens. And I'll give you an example. Say my son says something to me, right? And I feel like it's not what I wanted to hear, or maybe, you know, whatever the situation is, and we get into a little bit of back and forth, right? That is a result of me being in judgment of him. Now, you can hold a boundary, and this is, you know, it's a learned skill. I want to reiterate to listeners, this is not something that, it is intuitive, but it's something that you need to cultivate and strengthen. But recognizing when you're in judgment, I don't like what this person is saying or doing. This is right or wrong, good or bad, helpful, not helpful. This is, you know, hard or easy. Those are all judgments. And when we sit there and we say, oh man, I shouldn't have snapped at him. I shouldn't have, reacted in the way that I did. Now I'm judging myself for judging myself. Right. And that's kind of where I actually am. Earlier, it was just recognizing like, oh, I got mad. Okay. Instead of being upset for getting mad or upset for being stressed or upset for whatever, however you reacted, just recognize in your moment, I'm there and I'm crying with my mother-in-law. That doesn't make me weak. That doesn't make me less capable. That doesn't mean anything other than I need to be here now, be present. If I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling sad. If I'm feeling like I want to cry, that is a human reaction.
It's okay. It's okay.
You would never blame a lion for roaring or a zebra for having stripes. Crying is a human thing. So we don't need to make it a problem, right? So that's right. Kind of where I start to, that's where we get ourselves as high achievers is it's not only the awareness, oh, these are the patterns that are creating my issues, but now I'm going to judge myself for having those patterns, even though I quote unquote know better. Well, no, we're learning, we're rewiring our brains. So, you know, that is something that I think most people tend to fall off on.
So would that be like the first step? So if we had to, and again, everybody's situation is different, okay, sure. As you acknowledge, right? But if they hit rock bottom, wherever they are, right? And now they want to start making change. Mm-hmm. Is the first step just really acknowledging that you're a human being?
Yeah.
And not, you know, that it is what it is.
Yeah.
And not to judge yourself and be okay, recognize that you are you. Is that that's what I'm hearing here? Is absolutely that the first it. Step?
That's absolutely it. Where you are, you would not, you know, you would not get to where you are divinely meant to be without being here now in this moment. Acknowledge that. Accept it. I'm at rock bottom. Okay. Anybody, look out there at anybody who's done anything great ever. Never is there, and I try to stay away from never and always, but I think, you know, we can safely say never do these people who have accomplished amazing things, never have they said, oh, it was easy. All the time. I never had any challenges.
And that's an excellent point, right? Is that, you know, a lot of times we think that God frowned on us. Mm. Okay. That mm-hmm. our situation is everybody else is living and enjoying themselves and they're not dealing with these issues and it's only me. Okay. Yeah. And you're 100. And then, so we put ourselves on an island. Right. And, you know, Gilligan's still waiting to be rescued. Okay. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, we don't recognize that other people are dealing with the exact same issues, maybe even worse, to be right. fair. Right. right. So talk a little bit about how one of your clients
yeah.
made one simple change that created a ripple effect in their life mm-hmm. where they went from rock bottom. And then now they're over and they're just in, you know, heaven. And yeah. I wouldn't say heaven, but they've really turned their situation around.
Yeah. Well, and you, first of all, I think we create our self-created hell or self-created heaven. Really, truly. So there's so many client stories that just flooded my brain when you asked that, but you know, I'll share really two quick ones. One, I just had coached, this female physician. She was up for a promotion and, you know, from an Asian background. And she's like, well, you know, I'm up for this thing. If I take it, I'm going to be away from my kids more. I'm going to be seeing patients less, but I don't want to tell my parents, you know, that I turned down a promotion and a pay raise. Like what is that? That's opposite of what they taught me to do. And you know, watching her and coaching her through so that she could recognize, oh my gosh, taking this promotion would mean that I would be living a life that I didn't want to live. I want time with my kids. I want to see my patients. I want to be able to have bandwidth to maybe do some gardening on the weekends. And if I say yes to this promotion, I'm saying no to all of those things that by accepting that promotion, then I would say, oh, I'm going to grumble about the fact that I can't garden and this and that, right? So you've got to make a choice. And I really don't like the word compromise because when you're making an empowered choice, no longer is it a compromise. A compromise means that you're giving up on something.
Right.
Right. No, we want to make empowered choices. And they may not be choices that we like. You know, I don't want to pay taxes necessarily, but when I pay taxes, I want to be grateful that I had an income that I, you know, had ways to, you know, there's things that the government does for us, right? Like there's a system in place. So even something like paying taxes, nobody wants to pay taxes, but you can still infuse an empowerment there, a level of gratitude. No, I'm doing this with not, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. Right. Well,
I think also though, you said the key thing though, I really, you know, and I'm just sitting here thinking as you stated it, you said, I want,
yeah,
right. I want a garden. So if I do this thing, if I get this, yeah, it'll be okay, but yeah, it's not going to give me what I want.
Yeah.
Right. That's going to make me happy as an individual. Right. And so I think that's a huge, and I don't think a lot of times we go to that. We go to, well, I'm going to take it. You know, it's not really what I really want to do, but you know what? I feel I have to do. All right. So we start compromising. And then next thing you know, we're down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's not what we want. It's something we think we need to do. Right. And so, and here's the other thing. Let me hear your second. Give me the second client story.
You know, the question I get is, how long does it take for me to feel the effects of this, right? And people think because it's a new skill, it's going to take time. The beauty of this is it's an instant. I had a client once who said, you know, we had just started coaching together. She wound up at her company was sponsoring a golf tournament. And she said, I hate going to these things. I'm not really great at golf. I don't enjoy it. I always feel, you know, insert all of her reasons. And what happened was she wound up at this golf tournament and somebody, she was one of the few women there. One of the other women came up to her and made an off-color remark about, you know, her golf game and what that meant as far as what kind of worker she was. And it was this whole thing. And she said, you know, in that moment, because we had just come off of a coaching session and I had guided her through, I call my framework crossing the bridge. So it's three steps. The first step is creating awareness for when you are in what I call guard mode, right? Any icky feeling, any sense of stress, when you're feeling embarrassed, when you're feeling worried, when you're feeling, you know, any type of stress, that's your breadcrumb to shift, right? So she said, all right, I knew that what this person said was going to stress me out. So I excused myself. And then she went through a couple of techniques. There's various things you can do. Breath work. You can do tapping. You can, you know, you can pray. You can meditate. You can even do some movement, some light running, something. But she had a set of things that she practiced. And in that coming back and centering her nervous system back into the parasympathetic, right? Not the non-stressed. She was able to have her nervous system come back online and her intuition then kicked in. And she said, you know what? That person's remarks, that's about them and their own insecurities. That has nothing to do with me. And so she was able to come back and she said, you know what? I just didn't let it bother me. And I played the best golf game of my life. And I actually closed a deal in the process.
Wow.
And, awesome. You know, so we can actually perform better if we just have that awareness and don't judge ourselves. Our intuitions will kick in and take care of the rest.
I love that story. I love those stories. I love your energy. I love everything that you're bringing to the table, my sister. And so when we went back to the stats, when you said 90% is within our control and 10% is with that right there epitomizes that. Right. Because that was a mindset. That was a mindset shift. And that was, let me take a step back. Mm-hmm. Let me get my thoughts. This ain't about me. Mm-hmm. This is about that person. I'm not going to let that person steal my joy. And that was a choice.
Yes.
Right. And so what I'm hearing is a lot of these things is stuff that we can change. And I love what you said. That was not instant, but it was fast, right? And so that is awesome. And I can see why you're so successful. Mm. And matter of fact, I'm going to have to see if I can, you know, get an appointment, right? So I can come in, you can sit down and talk to the tidbit. And so we can, you know, you can help me out, right? Let me ask you this, final thoughts. Before we go to final thoughts, let me ask you this question. Do you think people of color, do they have a harder time in terms of letting go, especially I'm talking to high achievers, because you know, you said something earlier, which is so true, right? We feel that we have to work twice as hard as everyone else. We feel that if we don't show up and look a certain way or speak a certain way, we're being judged. It's going to hamper our ability to move forward. We feel that if we can't, if we took our foot off the gas, like some of our colleagues and stuff, we wouldn't get recognized for opportunities, right? If we don't take care of our kids a certain way, they're going to be, stereotyped or generalized as this and that, or we're not going to be, you know, this is what this group of parents do, blah, 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 blah. Tell me a little bit about that. What's your thoughts on that?
I believe the more and more I do this work, it is critical to be very careful of that narrative. Because while it may be true that, look, I'm going to acknowledge society as it is right now, it is not equitable. It is not equitable for people of color. It is not equitable for women. It is not equitable in many, many other ways, right? People with disabilities, people who don't identify in the cisgender heteronormative, like there are all sorts of inequities. And also, if we allow ourselves to keep feeding into this, what we're doing is giving that 10% a lot of power, and what we focus on gets bigger. So there's an art to a yes and acknowledge, but then understand how much power we actually do have, because what happens then is when we, and I'll give you an example. I was just last week sitting at a table with three white men. And I had a moment of, I don't know what I'm doing at this table. I don't know that I'm going to resonate with any of them, even though most of the people in the room I knew were they're change makers, right? Inherently the populace was not a cross section of the general population.
Right.
But even within that, there was a moment of, ooh, I don't know. And when I just acknowledged it and said, I'm going to be myself, what happened was, two of those men came up to me separately and said, I really enjoyed our conversation. And that meaningful connection, that's all we want. So when we can show up for ourselves out of non-judgment and compassion and acceptance, and then we're fully vibrant and alive, then and only then can we can't control what other people say or do.
Right,
but
we
can create an environment where the other person feels psychologically safe to maybe take down their walls a little bit and facilitate real connection and communication that crosses gender, that crosses orientation or skin color. And if you're still shut down, I want listeners, I want you to hear this. The universe is actively contriving for you to succeed. It is actively contriving for you to succeed. So if there's a little resistance there, that's what I meant by not working hard. Don't fight the resistance. Pivot. That's your sign to shift, because the current of the universe will carry you forward beyond what you think you can do.
I love it. My girl, preach. Tell them what time it is, Seema. No, that is awesome, my girl. And thank you for that, because you are 100% right. Anything else you want to leave? Because you just left a bomb right there. And I think that should resonate to everyone who's listening and watching this. Anything else, my sister?
I think I love to talk, so I don't want to overwhelm. And I think I'm just going to stop it right there. I welcome any questions or feedback or, you know, anything like that. I'm on social. So if anybody wants to reach out and pick my brain on something I've said here, I welcome that.
Well, listen, you've been given so much today. How can a Black Executive Perspective podcast help you?
Well, I have two things. One, I'm actively looking for speaking roles and things like that. Like I'm developing two keynotes. And I love speaking. I love connecting with people this way. Podcasting is just the virtual way of doing that. And so if there's anything, any of your listeners have an event that you'd like me to be at, reach out. And then the other thing too, is if you're looking for one-on-one support, Tony, you know this, you and I've talked about it. the Energy Leadership Index assessment and debrief. This is such a great way to get a handle on very many of the things we talked about in this podcast episode today. It's about managing your energy, right? And so anyone can take an assessment, but this is not a strengths finder. This is not a personality test. This is literally a map of your energy and how you show up in situations when you're stressed, when you're not stressed, and how you're making decisions. So when we can get an awareness of this, and then you get guided through in a private session with me, here's what we know now. What do you want to do about it? You can create a bespoke action plan to help you actually get to that next level and make decisions about what's going to actually serve you and what you want to put down. I've had some incredible client stories that even just in the one session, if they never even get a full 12 session package that I offer for private coaching, even the one session is really, really helpful. So if you're interested in looking at that or learning more about that, it's drseemadesai.com/ELI. And I'm sure, Tony, you're going to have this in the show notes as well.
There's no question. Say the website again.
It's drseemadesai.com. So drseemadesai.com/ELI.
That is awesome. So my girl, thank you so much for your energy, your expertise, your love of your fellow human being. I am so happy that you were on a Black Executive Perspective podcast today. You filled my spirit up. You gave me a lot of different anecdotes to be able to utilize. And so I'm recommending that anyone that wants to know more, definitely dive into Seema, check her out at her website, and also leave us feedback and stuff to that nature. But I want to thank Dr. Seema Desai for appearing on a Black Executive Perspective podcast.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
So now I think it's time for
Tony's Tidbit.
And the tidbit today, burnout doesn't prove your worth. It proves you've been given too much to things that will never love you back. Choose peace over proving. And you heard a lot of that from our friend, Dr. Seema Desai. So don't forget to check out this week's Need to Know by Dr. Nasinga Burton on a Black Executive Perspective podcast. Dr. Burton dives into the timely and crucial topics that shape our community and world. Things that you don't have time to check out, you can watch her or listen to her, and she'll educate you and deepen your understanding of the issues that matter. You don't want to miss Need to Know by Dr. Nasinga Burton on a Black Executive Perspective podcast. And definitely don't miss our next episode of Pull Up Speak Up, where our roundtable dives into the most provocative issues. We have bold, unfiltered voices that have sharp perspectives. This is real talk. These are everyday individuals sharing their perspectives on the things that matter. Tune in. It's not just a episode. It's a revolution. So, as most of you know, and for those who don't, if this is your first time listening or watching a Black Executive Perspective podcast, our goal, our call to action, our mission is to decrease all forms of discrimination. And the way we're asking everyone to do this is with the acronym called LESS, L-E-S-S. And L stands for learn. You want to educate yourself on racial and cultural nuances. The more that you can learn about people that you don't know, it's going to enlighten you. And then after you learn, you have the letter E, which stands for empathy. Now, since you've learned, now you can put yourself in your other brothers and sisters' shoes because you understand where they're coming from. And then after empathy, you have the first S, which is share. Now you want to share what you've learned and the new insights you have to other people so they can become enlightened. And then the final S is stop. We want to stop. You want to stop discrimination as it walks in your path. So if Aunt Jenny or Uncle Joe says something at the Sunday dinner table that's inappropriate, you say, Aunt Jenny, Uncle Joe, we don't believe that. We don't say that. And you stop it right there. So if everyone can incorporate less, L-E-S-S, we'll build a more fair, more understanding world. And we'll all see the change that we want to see, because less will become more. Don't forget to follow A Black Executive's Perspective podcast on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow us on our socials of LinkedIn, X, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook at A Black Exec. For our fabulous guest, Dr. Seema Desai, we want to thank her. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit. We talked about it. We learned about it today. We laughed about it. We're still going to strive about it. And guess what? We're going to be a lot easier, but we're going to thrive about it. We love you. And now it's time for us to get out.
A Black Executive Perspective.